Hello, I'm Josh. I play the dead wizard, Xenator Brisbane. We're an independent podcast, so please consider joining us on Patreon, Instagram, and Twitter at CBHPod.
Could Have Been Heroes is a role-playing game podcast where six old friends adventure as six total strangers who, after missing their shots at destiny, now get a second chance to make a mess of everything. As she was whipped through the air, her own deadly, poisonous blood being used as a weapon by what appeared to be a group of would-be kidnappers, Bitterbell was forced to reflect. At moments like this, one must reflect. Princess Bitterbell was the favorite daughter of one of Faurytal's 5 to 10, given the flow of the Upper World's capriciously poor focus, most powerful practitioners of sorcery. This came with plenty of fringe benefits. She wanted for nothing, feared basically no one, and more or less had free rein to treat others however she wished. Opulence, plenty, exclusivity, access, privilege, ease, just for starters. Eternal youth, should you want it. Decadent, mystical pleasures never farther away than the ring of a bell. Being wicked and powerful really was the good life. And then La Vielle Le Fay, giver of life, doting mother, and furnisher of fantastical finery, murdered her beloved twin sister for being too soft, and distributed her blessings and gifts among the three remaining daughters. It came on a sunny as days got in the Grimwood. It came without warning, or certainly no more warning than an impromptu vacation to Elysia for the weekend. The Queen of Spite, the very image of imperious beauty, had swept into the room, the ancient wood of her articulated legs and feet clacking gently on the stone. The daughters looked up, greeting their mother in the traditional ways. The littlest, giggling, showed her mother the lovely doll she had ripped the head off of. The eldest and heir kissed her ring. The twins curtsied and smiled. And then their mother had simply said,
"Bitterbloom, today is your last day alive. Say goodbye to your sisters. Your death will be painless and not to waste."
The girls knew better than to argue, though they could not keep horror off their faces, except little Brosselienne, whose face held both fear and twisted excitement.
"Something bad is happening," she giggled.
The eldest, Meredia, brushed Bitterbloom's face and said her goodbyes. Bitterbell held her sister close for just a moment, then found herself gripping her sister's hands tightly, unable to make herself let go. Crazed thoughts flickered through her mind. Perhaps their mother could be killed. Perhaps if they attacked altogether suddenly. Perhaps this was a test. She hazarded a glance towards the queen. It was no test. Her dear sister pinched her wrist painfully. Instinctively, she pulled her hand back, and in that instant, their mother snapped her fingers and unraveled her. Bitterbell had thought about that moment many, many times over the centuries. Her twin had always seemed to know her every move before she made it. Undoubtedly, the same deep empathy that doomed her in their mother's eyes. Bloom had likely seen what she was thinking and cut it short, saving her life, most likely. They were not so different, and if Mother had decided to render Bloom down for parts, how far behind could Belle have been from that? As her twin's beautiful eyes, glittering wings, vitality, creativity, skill with enchantments, and even her mystical, venomous blood had been distributed among the other daughters, Bitterbell was shocked to find her heart did not ice over. Rather, it burned. She vowed she would see her again. and when she learned how close to a breach in the heavens Kel's latest hunting ground was, she followed in disguise. But now, as she was being flung around, her deceased sister's enchanted poisonous blood being wicked off as a weapon by an orc in a wrestling singlet, Bitterbell was beginning to wonder if coming here had been a bad idea after all.
Previously on Could Have Been Heroes, the Nearlys have located the disguised Fae princess by nicking her head pro wrestling style. However, it just so happens her blood is an incredibly deadly poison, quickly incapacitating and killing any living thing it touches. Thrown into a battle with Kel under the waters, a legendarily vicious Fae knight, and the foul Miali, the rush is on. Can the Nearlys escape with their hostage in tow? Personally, I just hope they all survive and nothing bad happens to Cramuel.
And then the barbarian, Barlin the Brave, smashes into the side of it and wrestles it down onto the ground.
Let's see if we can't get that head off.
I need to try to rip its head off.
Amanda, you are up.
No, I hate it. I want to aim for the butt.
You want to aim at the Kelpie?
At its butt, specifically.
Okay, so what's happening here, for those of you...
It's not shooting its butt.
Is that the miniature is a very creepy, mutated, like, Kingdom Death miniature.
You made a choice.
That has a very plump, voluptuous butt, apparently. The horse butt.
Don't act like you didn't notice.
No, I definitely noticed. I mean, how could you not? It's intentionally sexualized to make it more disturbing to look at, because it's a horror miniature. Now... Herdy seems to have, from another universe, become transfixed on the pert, voluptuous butt of the Kelpie.
Must kill the butt.
And she wants to shoot it. So, although, you know what? It totally makes sense that she would want to aid the barbarian in wrestling the Kelpie. So let's see. Called shot on the butt.
Oh, fuck yeah. That is a... 30.
Jeez, that's hit.
32.
It's a hit. All right, so even with the called shot penalty, it hits it right in the fucking ass.
Right in the hole.
Yep. But then the first shot is just the first of many, as many more pieces of shrapnel and
Peter
smash into the asshole of the
fucking
Kelpie. All right, so you blast the thing right in the ass, which sends it careening like a spurred, you know, like a burned horse, you know,
goes,
a burned mount.
Oh, and it scurries off.
And it pitches off and at the... let's like make a luck check to see if this helps or hurts your friend here.
15%.
Oh, that's very bad. Okay, so...
No, you want me to roll low.
No, for effect chances. For
remember...
Luck,
remember, it's
okay,
like
so its sudden spur of movement causes the barbarian to be like drug alongside of it, like in the mud.
Every time I do anything good, one of my allies gets hurt.
So just the creature like takes a big chunk of damage,
yep.
but then disappears off into the distance. What the barbarian like bouncing along the mud and the rocks alongside of it. You may never see him again.
No, he'll be fine.
He'll be fine. All right, so would you take them off the board? So they are
sure.
They are now out of sight, off in the mist.
They'll be back. Well, at least he will. I'm probably. I mean, whatever.
All
it's
right,
fine.
Kathy, maybe. You are up.
Yeah, I'm just going to try to stab her again with my final bullshit.
Looks like that venom's almost run out.
It's the final bullshit.
Her voice seems to change as the water level rises.
Gross.
I'm going to fill you and burst you.
Wow.
No thanks.
Somebody needs therapy. Well, I rolled a one.
It's you.
Oh, no.
The person who needs therapy is you now.
All right. I'm going to do it. That's a grim.
No.
As you thrust the spear towards her, she easily parries it, grabs your guard, flips the spear around, and drives the venom into you. But I wonder if you count as an ancient fae. Would you please roll on a percentage check? And remember, you want to roll low if you want the effect to work. but high if you don't want it to work.
80.
You had a 75% chance, is that right? So Lavaline catches fading, but just like, so what happens is you start to like disappear. You start to forget that you exist. And the rest of you, you look over at Lavaline and your minds race. Who is that?
Kill it!
Who is that white feathered woman over there? And you start to like pulse in and out and in and out. And then you look over at the Golden Realm, that shore, that possible hope, and you can see there's someone standing on the shore watching you.
Uh-oh.
Beckoning to you, and they look so familiar.
Hmm.
All right.
I'm going to go towards the light.
Katie, you're up.
No!
Lavaline has sort of like is now fading in and out, like she's gray and see-through, and then she's back, and then, and every once in a while you forget her name.
No, what's her name? Don't go.
What's her name?
What do you do? Can I do anything to help her?
I don't know how to connect with you because I don't know who you are, but don't go.
I mean, you could try to purge the venom out of her.
Could a cloak bandage help with that?
It could soak it up. It could be a cold iron venom could be dangerous to you in the cloak, but that's an idea.
Or well, if I rip weaponized. A piece of the cloak off.
Mm-hmm. That is interesting. There's that whole thing about like sucking snake venom out, which kind of works depending on the kind of venom it is. But I think it's mostly a wives' tale or kind of a myth. However,
no, you pee on it.
that's not real.
Pee
on. I've been burned before.
I've been pissed on before.
I've been pissed on by many a lifeguard.
I get it.
So dumb. However, this is heavy metal poisoning that might move through the bloodstream slower. So anyway. Val, you have a sigil of moonlight in front of you that you can fire a high-powered arrow through.
Well, I happen to have pre-rolled a 19.
Nice.
I can't let that go.
Oh, no.
As one does.
Oh, you already attacked. All right, she's committed.
I will fire an arrow and then we'll attempt
then we'll
to...
See.
Okay, which target do you want
poison.
To shoot at the Lagoon Hydra or at Kel?
At Kel, I want to hit Kel at least once.
Gotcha. All right, her guard is 13 minus 19, and
wow.
You hit.
Nailed it.
Crazy.
Your accuracy. Yeah, I know what your accuracy is. All right, the arrow careens out, and then as soon as it hits that moon sigil in front of Val, it explodes into a beam of pure energy that cuts straight through Kel's midsection. All right, so that deals. What is your... it makes it deal 3 times damage. So what is your
bolt? 19.
19 plus your power. How much power do you have right now?
4.
4. That's damn. 20. Okay. So 29. Or sorry. 39.
39.
39 times 3 is...
Are you kidding
it's me?
Oh, hold on. So it would be
we'll
40.
We'll never know.
Well, 100.
180, 120 minus 3, 117.
What?
Okay. So the beam cuts straight through Kel's midsection. Green blood sprays across the water. She's starting to look a little surprised at what's happening.
Yeah.
Her confidence level wanes for the first time in this conflict.
Bye-bye.
And then she looks down and sees that injury. Would you please roll on a 10, please? For the reaction.
That was going to be an old school morale check. Do you remember those?
5.
Morale check? Yeah, I still love those. I actually have been really into looking at this game called Morkborg lately, and they still have morale checks in those. Like, you would like that. I gotta show you that. Those books are fucking art objects. Okay, 5 is Hydra Scales. So she gains 20 shielding after the attack.
Classic.
Still, bleeding profusely onto the ground, looking a little
she's
confused.
She's still a mess.
Yeah, she's still a bit of a mess.
Not looking good. So I want to use my remaining
action. I can't believe
action.
How good a... plan just attack her before the Kelpie shows up was.
Turns
out that was a really good plan. Okay.
Man, the right old, give him the old bonks.
Okay, I also said it before he said it.
No, we're
yeah,
going
but
to...
He's a man,
I only
so.
Heard the man say
it. I think I heard a man say something.
That was definitely a manly plan.
That's a man idea.
Somehow Andy takes credit for the lady's ideas across dimensions. Because Martin did that in a recent episode.
Interesting.
It was a group effort. We all did it.
I'll take your compliments.
Yeah, thanks.
Explosive reveal. kill. I killed the Strix.
Yes, right. I had fun doing
they
that.
They use your mind, but they never give you credit. Dolly.
Oh, Dolly. Yeah, I had fun
all
doing
right,
that.
Val. Got two actions left.
So she uses her teeth and rips a piece of the cloak off, and remaining actions to move towards Lavaline and try to use
there.
A cloak bandage to like leech some of this poison out? Question
Interesting.
Mark.
Interesting. All right.
Which this fentanyl soaked cloak bandage will at least make you feel a little better about being on the earth.
So
realm.
As she stuffs the cloth into your wound. Definitely feel better. Like it definitely soaks up. Also, the fabric seems hungry for her bluish blood. Like Ooh. That royal blood seems tasty.
Stop.
So I am bleeding.
So you are your spirit broken?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Sorry. So you can't heal from that. However, you can ignore the burn. Mm-hmm. So remove those two trauma.
Great.
So you wrap.
Yeah, Val slaps her a little bit.
Yeah,
like,
get her.
Stay here.
Stay with
Listen
us.
Listen to my annoying voice.
Oh, that's actually really sweet. So Val grabs your face. Her fingers like slipping through your cheeks as they become ethereal now and then. And then she gives you a slap and says, "Stay here. Listen to my annoying voice."
Oh.
Lavaline, is that you?
Yes,
you
Mom.
Mom? Lavaline, is that you, darling? It's Mother.
Mom?
All right. Oh. Make a persona check, Val. See if you can get her to stay with
my
you.
My persona's bad.
We have to compete against her mother.
I know.
Yeah, it's not, no what, like it's hard?
Oh, no.
Maybe it's Republican mother.
Oh,
Shoot.
My God.
No, I only got an 8 with my roll and my persona skill.
Okay.
You can't use any facets? You can do it.
All our passes are for the opposite of this.
It's okay. You can do it.
Instinctive,
yes.
Opportunistic.
Half.
So that's 8 plus 4. You're over 10.
What it's a about, difficulty 8 check.
God damn it.
Sorry. That's got to be really hard. Oh my God. Y'all hate me
you.
Just because I make it challenging.
Brave?
Yeah, that's good. I think that would help pull her back to you. It's not going to be enough, though. I'm sorry.
Even with... 7? Even with adding 7 more to that? God damn it.
Yeah, it's a tough check.
Shoot.
All right.
It's all right. You just killed Lavaline. It's cool.
Yeah.
You won't remember.
Yeah. You won't remember. It's fine.
Damn, I never imagined that when I gave you that horrible poison that it would get turned back on you. But, of course, ones happen. That's what fucking happens. Okay. Also, you're Fae. So, like, if anybody else had done that, I mean, it wouldn't be a big deal. It would just hurt. All right. All right. Ghouls. Ghouls. Attack. So each of you make 2 guard difficulty 5 checks.
All of us?
Just you
the barricade
and barricade.
Counter kill.
You rub the princess on another one.
Yep.
Whop, and the eyes pop out of its fucking sockets.
I like you, princess.
Those things stink really bad.
I failed on the first one.
Okay, so you take 2 body damage. So you're rubbing your face into these ghouls.
I
and
passed on the second
their
one.
There's smeary, disgusting blood all over.
Only her forehead.
Yeah.
That's where her face is.
Yeah, her face is really attached to the forehead. All right, so Herdy takes another slash from one of their claws.
But I passed the other one.
And then kicks the other of its attacks away. Okay, barricades up.
Finish it.
I don't know if I can attack it while I'm grappling her. I think I need to continue sustain my grapple.
You don't have to attack it. You just have to
rub her on
your,
it.
Yeah, move your grapple over to where he is. A little shimmy.
I'm going to use tag in. I can either use it if you have something that you could do to help yourself. Otherwise, I'm going to tag in Herdy to have her just keep doing damage on something.
That's fine. Tag in Herdy.
Okay. Tag in Herdy.
All right, you want me to actions.
Attack this last ghoul?
Sure.
Okay. I'd like to take it out.
Press your gun against its head.
Pretty much.
And you also get uplift 3 and
three,
3 essence of your choice.
Oh, good. Okay, well then I'm going to take back a body.
All right, barricade being the ring leader, ring master that he is.
And adds a 3 to my roll.
Ring general, they call it.
Is that
right?
What uplift is?
Dope.
Uplift is +3, or is +2 all rolls.
Well, thank God.
Just think the barricade.
21.
21 minus 6 is a hit. So
thank you, Jesus.
You put the Crundler Blast bow right over its face and do sort of that Looney Tunes shooting Elmer Fudd thing where its kind of head just disappears.
Well, first a flag comes out.
And stabs it in the forehead.
that says, sorry, when he reads it, and then it stabs him right through the forehead and it kills him.
Jesus Christ. I love that. Sorry. Like the cow killing gun.
Yeah, 100%.
That's fucking awesome.
Got right. him.
There. All the
Got him.
All the ghouls are dead. No more using your forehead as a weapon.
Good. Cool. Thanks. Can we get the fuck out of here?
Yes.
So we can sort this out betwixt us?
Yes.
Well
after Kel's dead.
We have to kill Kel. Soon.
You're not gonna kill Kel.
Yeah, we are.
If you bleed on some of the things that go into my Krundler bus blow, then that might help. Could you bleed over here?
I could bleed into your trumpet gun if you need me to.
Please do. I'm not gonna touch it so that when you get close to the barrel, nothing happens. Just spray some of your blood in there.
You need me alive,
Yeah. We're not gonna shoot.
Okay, fine. But you know what? If I'm helping you, promise to let me do what I came here for before you, like, kidnap me or whatever absurd thing it is you're thinking you're doing.
What did you come here for?
Personal reasons.
Okay, we can cross that bridge. Can you just bleed on my bits? Bleed on these bits.
All right, so she bleeds on a bunch of your shrapnel that you've got stored for your pockets.
Yes.
All right. You hear the barbarian.
I'm going to get you, even if you are eating me currently. What a way to die!
All right, so the barbarian seems to be having a hard time with the Kelpie off in the mist. And, everyone, do we have what we need? Do we need to extract? All right, you know what? I'm the smart one. And she opens up a Moonveil portal right where that white, bright white spot in the middle of the map is. This is our way out, everyone, please! And she stretches her hands, and a magical portal tears itself open in the center of the map here.
Okay, but we can't go yet. I'm not going without trying to kill Kel. I will not get in that portal.
All right, Andy, you're up.
Cremio sprints for
the portal.
Adios!
Fuck this guy.
All right. When you hit the portal, you're really surprised because it's a beautiful, glittering spell. But as you hit the side of it, your left arm tears off of your body.
Oh!
My God!
And flies off into the air.
Right. Oh, my
God.
Glad he tested it out.
Oh, no!
See? Don't go in there.
What the fuck happened?
Harsh, bro.
We can't go through it till we finish our business, I guess.
What did you do to me?
So somewhere out in the fog, something is approaching.
Oh, great.
Welcome.
Welcome.
Welcome to the future.
Oh, are you fucking kidding me?
You know what this is?
Is it glorious? He's going to pile on a glorious.
All right, so...
We can handle a glorious.
Robbie.
So Kel spins her spear around. Your presence is not wanted or needed here.
Welcome to the future. Kel, I'm afraid I must relieve you of duty.
I serve not you. she like hunkers down next to her Hydra with her spear drawn and readies her turn. All right, Amanda. An enormous lion-like creature with the face of a beautiful man steps out of the fog, and next to it, an enormous man in heavy black plated armor that you realize is made from the bones of humans and elves and dwarves.
You guys, I think it's time to go.
I tried.
Well, did he get spit out of the portal?
Yeah, the disruption caused the portal to become so violent, like in its like static and stuff kicking off of it, that it like tore his arm right out of the socket. You gave him the skinny severed arm affliction, which is three trauma. It isn't. It's five trauma. What am I saying? Yeah.
So are we running or are we fighting?
I'm sorry, friends. But I can't let you leave here with the girl.
Okay,
throw her in the portal.
Just kidding. Well, that's a bummer. because we're not giving her to you.
Let me have her for a time. And whatever it is you are after won't matter anymore. All things will be set right. Please, you have to understand. There's nothing you can do to stop me anyway.
No.
This is the servant of want. This is one of the Herald's lackeys,
Kel says as she hisses and like backs up away from him.
So Kel doesn't like these folks either?
Doesn't seem so.
So would Kel be on our side for this battle?
If he's come to take the princess, then we are of an accord that he shall not do so.
Oh, team up. Right on.
What, do you think they were just going to use other princesses? And yet they want this one too, huh?
It does appear so. Fools should, that they are.
I think you should pick better allies.
I serve my queen. If you would question her judgment, you should take it up with the Thorned Throne.
I'm going to ask the princess, who I'm still like grappling at, like, you know what they want with you?
Yeah, whatever's going on in the Briar Tower, nothing that I want any part of, thank you.
I can smell the spell's totem on his belt. If you can break it, the portal will work and we can get the fuck out of here.
All right. I believe you. Y'all hear that? Spell totem on his belt.
I'll hold the glorious.
Kel says as she, riding on her watery hydra, launches towards it, and a bloody, gory, grappling wrestling match between she, her pond, and the creature commence. Okay, top of the order. We're going to start. Wait, actually, where were we? We were at... we were at top of the order. That was the boss's turn. So, Amanda.
Okay, then I'm obviously going to make an attempt at shooting it. But... going to be hard.
Hey, Herdy, this is when we need that precision fire that we've heard so much about.
Yeah. Totally.
Channel your inner Wahlberg.
I'm, first of all...
Be a shooter.
You are bleeding so much. Stop talking. Conserve your energy.
All right. But The Happening was a good movie.
Holy shit. So, Acheska... Okay, Acheska is definitely, like, applying pressure to... trying to pinch off the vein veins in your arm so that they don't spray blood out of your body so efficiently.
Yeah. thank you. I give you permission to touch my arteries.
Okay, with consent, buddy. That's consent is key.
Oh, it's like... feels like the time me and Nugs did whippets.
Oh, no. No, not Nugs. Nugs isn't real, man.
He is real, if you believe.
Holy shit, he's an imaginary friend.
Okay, well, I do have a power I can use if I fuck up this roll.
Okay.
I can spend a power.
Yeah, under pressure, yeah.
Under pressure. So I'm going to try just using my Crundler bus.
Okay, so this has guard 15.
Great, so that just removes my roll bonus. And if you want to...
50-50, that ain't so bad.
The fate of everyone in this entire group rests on you,
Don't fucking say shit.
Holy don't screw up this roll. Shit.
You piece of shit. 13! Yeah!
Okay.
All right. Oh, legendary.
I used to know the East Side Boys. Not Lil Jon, though.
All right, legendary defender, you have to reroll.
Oh, son of a bitch.
Well, I haven't used my power yet, so. Fuck you. I'm spending a power to reroll.
Under pressure. Sorry, that was fun. I
for
do.
Who?
For me.
What was that fun for?
I just...
Oh.
No. What is it? did he make it? Is it?
Yeah.
Is it good? Are you staring at me like that because it's high?
Yeah.
So, Herdy fires a massive molten pile of scrab soaked in princess blood all over it out at him, and he gracefully swings his sword, exploding the projectile and sending it harmlessly onto the ground in a heap. He is quite an expert swordsman, and something about his sword, would you please make a focus a focus check. Yep. And then Kathy, you are up. You feel strangely 18. Drawn to the light, like a moth to the flame.
18 plus, I'm going to call on opportunistic because I'm noticing something in the moment.
Great, yeah.
And I think that's it.
Okay. Good.
So if that works, then I'm at 21.
Something about the sword looks familiar. Maybe something you saw in one of Sarah's sketches. You'd have to check. It's like a motif, like a visual motif, like those little leaves and those little like circles like in the gilding. Okay. Kathy, you are drawn like a moth to the flame. You hear your mother's voice calling out to you, and you see something or someone else standing on the shore. Oh, there's a lot of them.
Who are they?
Look exactly the same. Young women, short, cropped blonde hair, pointy ears. You can see vivid green eyes peering out at you from the glow. They look so familiar. Would you make a cunning difficulty 5 check?
I rolled a 12.
Hey, there are 8 identical Valerianas standing on the beach waving towards you. They are the spitting image. Each is dressed a little bit differently. Their heights are just a little bit different, but they are uncanny. These spirits look just like her.
Huh. That's not weird, I'm sure.
All right, what do you do? In your hazy, fading state.
I'm probably aware enough to know that there aren't 8 Valerianas out there in the world.
Yeah.
Okay, so I find this to be strange.
Yes.
I don't know what's happening to me, so I don't really know how to fight it.
But you're fading in and out of reality, and you're very near to an afterlife, so the fact that you're like, your matter is becoming very like loose and ephemeral, you're almost feeling like you're getting sucked into this afterworld.
I guess I could try to not.
Yeah, you can absolutely try to fight
it.
Yeah,
okay.
Okay.
I'm gonna try to fight it. Yeah.
Will, difficulty 4 check.
Oh, did it.
Rolled really well. Nice. Okay. You may act normally, but you get 2 actions instead of 3.
Okay. Am I back in the...
Yeah, you pry yourself back, and suddenly the roar of battle. You can see Kel stabbing her spear in and out of the side of a glorious... It has to be a glorious. It has eyes open up on its sides, and the eyes are breathing hot light out into the air. And its face is the most beautiful human face you've ever seen, with a strange tentacle that comes down underneath its chin, and Kel and her lagoon are roiling around it.
Somehow dealing with 8 Valerianas doesn't seem that bad.
So Lovely muttered something about 8 Valerianas.
And everyone's like,
be so lucky. Also, welcome back.
Who are they? What's going on?
A lot's happened.
So this black knight...
I was gone for like 6 seconds,
this massive,
I imagine.
Black knight is lurching forward towards you. He's like in like a short jog, charging towards Herdy and the barricade. And, well, more specifically, the princess.
Oh, well, I don't want that. Can I... am I close enough to attack him?
Yeah.
Or I could switch to... my bow. Yes, I do want to do a sacred arrow.
All right. Lavaline suddenly snaps back and knocks an arrow and fires a sacred bolt at the side of his face. His guard is 12.
Woof. Okay. Miss.
All right. It careens past and he drops down and blocks it on his...
Wait.
No, I did miss.
Okay, unblocks it on his skull-faced shield. The shield's mouth opens and actually devours the light of the arrow. And then he steps back up and ignores you and keeps running towards...
So insulting.
I heard you in the barricade. Okay. Katie, you're up.
Sister.
You start to hear whispers.
She like waves her hand like there's gnats.
Yeah, like they're actually like, there. Not encouraging for your friends.
No. It's not looking great. Whenever I draw her bow, I mean, I want to try to hit that that spot. What was it that you called?
Yeah,
it?
The magic totem.
Magic totem.
Right on, do it.
Shoot.
Oh my god, no. I'm so sorry.
You're not sorry though.
I'm sorry, I am.
What can I do to make this better?
Wow. I got caught in the same those spell.
I'm sorry. Yeah, those attack rolls are pretty rigid. All right. Another arrow launches off at him, and again, he has like battle prescience. He like knows what's going to happen right before it does. He turns, drops behind his shield, and the arrow breaks off of the side of it, and then he stands up and continues his run forward. All right, Josh.
Out of the way, orc.
No. I mean, good try, but no. How about this instead? I take her, turn, and beat it the other way.
No, come back!
Fuck off!
Yeah, fuck off, motherfucker!
All right, so I actually have a plus 4 speed, I think. So I can move 10. I'm just going to try to kite him.
Oh, shit, the moonlight armor makes you so fast.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'm going to, while I do that, I'm gonna reassure her that I'm not going to let him take her. But just don't bleed on me.
Not a lot of control.
Not a ton of control of my forehead capillaries.
You're doing great so far.
Oh, really. Great. Thanks for that.
All right, and then I've got... So I'll do that, and then I'll save my defensive action to trigger Ring General. All right, I'm going to give Hurdy plus 4 accuracy.
Okay.
All right, so you hightail it, and Andy, you're up. So she uses moonlight stitches to seal up your arm, just like these like kind of thin strands of light. Okay, the bleeding has stopped. All right. The arm... We'll get you a new better arm.
All right. Well, that makes me feel better. Back to it. And
oh my god.
That's what you get for running.
Wait, where are you going?
I got to fight. We're in a scrap, bro.
Oh my god, I think I'm in love with him. Jessica watches you just run armless. What's wrong with me?
Where was that energy 20 minutes ago when you ran immediately for the portal and cut your arm off?
Well, that didn't work. So
okay, well, great.
Now, he pivots pretty easily.
True.
Now I'm gonna try to punch myself out of this situation, or punch out of this situation.
Now you're choosing
Are you going
violence.
To attack the Black Knight?
I am. I'm going to attempt what I've been thinking about in my head as the ultimate sack tap.
No.
Nice.
Oh, man.
You've been training for this your entire life.
Yeah, the talus, it's like, it looks like a reliquary, like one of those vials with like a saint's finger in them. This has some sort of small bone in it, and it's just a vial with gilding on top and bottom, and it dangles from his belt.
He doesn't hit it, though. He actually hits the guy in the nuts.
And
he dies. He just dies.
My one weakness!
Well, I want to try to punch/sack tap the amulet.
Yeah,
to
hell yeah.
Crack and break it.
All right.
Maybe guard. While sliding under his legs.
Oh, that'd be so amazing. Okay. All right. Guard cool. Guard is 15 on that.
2. 15. Oh, you hit.
Hey.
No way.
All right. How much damage?
God. Damage is going to be.
And did you want to do anything else?
But... Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because, yeah, I'll spend
okay.
power because I've got them to add another 10. Or actually, it's not a power. It's 5 ammo.
Great.
So, yeah, I'll do that to add another 10.
So 40 crush damage. Mm-hmm. It takes an extra 15 damage from crush. So that moves it up to 55. All right, a big crack actually appears in the totem. Light starts to pour out, and the portal starts to glow. And as you slide...
As you
slide past him, would you roll a d10 for his reaction?
I feel like if the talisman is now glowing, it should be easier to aim at.
Five.
I should drop it.
Okay, yes. Run through. Make a guard difficulty 8 check.
Agreed, Amanda.
Thank you.
Ooh, 5.
Okay. you take... you gain the run through affliction. So as you run past him, he spikes you to the ground with his sword. You gain a 3 trauma run through affliction. And then he kicks you and sends you spinning away from him with a massive black boot and continues his run.
Out of the way, runt!
Oh!
Cheska goes, no, I really like him for some reason. Okay.
I've been pierced.
All right. How far away did you get from him?
I should have been able to put 20 squares.
Oh, my God. Okay. Let's see. I think you're out of range. Oh, my God. That's so bad for him. Okay.
Helga used to chase me around the ring for like 10 minutes before we actually locked up. The crowd would go crazy. Don't worry, I got this.
He is going to walk, or he is going to run so that he is on the far side of the portal between the barricade and the portal. And then he is going to hold his actions. Like he's just leveling his sword at you. And you can hear the screaming off in the distance as the Kelpie starts to eat the barbarian.
Oh god.
And Kel is starting to lose ground with her poisoning and injuries starting to weigh down at her. And the Glorious has her pinned down and its tentacle is starting to like invade her ear, like starting to push its way inside.
This is well and over. Give her up and you can all walk away. Let the world be beautiful.
Alright.
Yes. So if the guard is down to 0.
No.
Guard down to 10.
It's down to 13.
Okay, so 10. Perfect. Down to 10. I rolled.
Remember, you got +4 for me.
Okay, then I, with my bonus, I rolled 30 with that +4.
Okay, so minus 13.
Is a hit.
Minus 15 is a hit.
I don't care. Keep it at 13.
No,
I needed it.
All right. The totem is hit. How much damage do you do?
33. I didn't add any happiness to it.
33 minus 10 is 23. 23 plus, it shatters. There's an explosion from the totem.
Woo!
It rips open, the portal flares and glows brightly.
Run!
All right, and it's a fucking scramble.
Hey, I just faced it.
Yep.
I ran.
And there's just a freep.
Can Josh get back?
And you guys, he's between me and the portal now.
Mm-hmm. All right, Kathy.
I guess I'm going to try to shoot that guy. Maybe distract him.
Another will undertaking.
Okay,
hey, you made it. Difficulty is 5. Yeah, that's right on. You did it.
Great.
Okay, you can take 2 actions.
I want to shoot that guy and hopefully distract him from what the barricade is doing.
All right, Black Iron Skull or Black Iron Cuirass would you like to attack?
Oh, definitely the ass.
No, Cuirass is his like chest, his chest armor.
No,
do you want to shoot him in the head or do you want to shoot him in the chest?
Oh, that's less fun.
Sorry.
The head.
Okay. Go for it. Difficult. All right. His guard is a 12.
Yeah, I did it.
Hey! Okay, special reaction. So the arrow hits him in the side of the head. Okay. Can you give me your damage totals? You may be...
34.
You may not be surprised to know that he has sacred vulnerability of 20. So that's 40 plus whatever your arrows do.
The arrows do 14.
All right, 59 damage.
Plus my 15 for power.
64. Yeah, that's it. All right. So a blazing, flaring arrow comes rocketing out of Lavaline's addled mind and bow and hits him in the side of the face, and his helmet careens off of his head and clatters to the ground. And oh my, does he look familiar. His eyes, his beard, the shape of his nose and chin. If this is not a Brisbane, you would be very surprised. He has the same sadness in his eyes, the same cue as Xenator. If this is not Xenator's brother, you would be floored.
It's like hotter Xenator.
Who's Xenator?
Oh. All right. Kathy, so that was your action, or your aggressive action?
And then I want to move closer to the portal.
Okay.
But not go in.
All right, so he staggers to the side and turns back at you with his eyes, like, flaring. He almost looks like about to burst into sobs, like his helmet was hiding his distaste for everything that's happening. All right, Katie.
So I need to hit him with an arrow that's kissed with thin existence and shoot him into another realm for 3 rounds, and then we can get into this portal and get the fuck out.
Oh, no!
Genius!
That's brilliant. Because you're not going to kill him.
Oh, no!
No, I just have to hit him, and it's been really hard to do.
You got this.
Booster?
You got this.
Hold on.
Can we kill Zinnitor's brother? I just have to shoot him with an arrow and do any damage. It's 100% chance that we... I know.
I can also... Oh, no, that's for me.
Who cares about this senator guy? Let's get that out.
I can spend a power, if you need it, to do sidearm shot and add 3 onto the attack.
Yeah.
Well, you want to just do it now for the drama?
Yeah, I could do that.
All right.
I'll add 3 to your roll.
All right. Herdy, as she disappears into the portal, fires an assisting shot. You knock your arrow and aim and hold on to it. And the legendary heroes who've been fighting at your side this whole time lend you their buffs.
Just so we're clear, I will ready my sprint and do defensive action to give her ring general.
Love it.
Okay. Hey, Brisbane.
Boop. His eyes go wide with shock that you recognize him.
With the +7, I'm at a 10.
But now add all your other shit.
Plus my accuracy of 12.
So you get to 22. His guard.
Without the helmet.
Without the helmet.
His
God
guard
damn
is
it.
12.
Yes!
You just hit. Oh my God.
All I have to do is hit him. It doesn't have to
be
special.
That's all you have to do is
at
hit him.
At all.
Yep. Sans helmet, his guard is 12.
Wow. Oh my God.
It nicks him across the cheek, and he vanishes with a surprised look on his face. Just before she converts into and transforms into a Glorious, Kel turns and bites with her sharp teeth the end of the tentacle off, wrenches it out of her ear, impales the creature in one of its eyes, and slides loose from its grasp, sweeping herself up onto the back of the Kelpie that is ridden into view. And the two of them form a partnership of need as this Glorious charges after her and she disappears into the mists. Okay, so you all pile into the portal, watched by something from the other side. Meanwhile, Carrick has faded into an ethereal existence on the edge of the shores of the Realm of Gold. And the person that he's doing all of this for is there, staring at him.
Who is it?
Wrapped in chains and barbs. And he watches her, writhing in agony, being tormented even in heaven. And he takes a few steps forward towards her, reaching out. I'll get you. I'll get you back. Whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. And then he snaps back into reality, his fingers reaching out at nothing. And then you all pile onto the ground in in Azarazel's tree where the collection portal was formed.
Oh, coming in hot, aren't ya?
Oh my god.
Where the
oh
hell god. Is the... What is... What?
Careful, Princess Blood.
Hey, oh, it's on my face!
No, what?
Just kidding. The princess is, like, bleeding onto the ground, which burns a hole in the floor and then, like, drips down into the undercroft. Like, God.
So, Azarazel, this elderly wizardess, comes, like, hunching over at you. Head here, the barricade. An armless young man whose name I didn't catch. Valeriana and Laveline alive and... Hello, girl. You're bleeding on my carpet.
That's my bad.
I feel like I might be a hemophiliac. Like, I'm still bleeding kind of a lot.
No, you're supposed to... I did the blade job right.
You promised me that you would let me do what I went to the Shores of Gold for.
Oh, no. I did not.
Technically, that was me, but I also said we'd cross that bridge later, so we never actually made the promise.
I went all the way out there for a reason.
Yeah, and you almost died.
What reason?
None of your business.
Oh, but you're making it our business because you're yelling at us in the safe place that we got you to. So,
Cheska is desperately looking for healing potions for Gramuel.
Yes. Also, if we hadn't arrived, you would have been taken from Kel by that glorious and its lackey.
Mm-hmm.
We and saved now you've... the day.
Where's don't your talk arm? And drink all of these.
Now potions. You have the audacity.
I don't know what these potions do.
To yell at us for getting you out of that swamp.
Hold on. Just
this isn't Natty Light.
Don't need to berate her.
Don't we, though?
No.
Fine.
Yeah, kidnapping is plenty, bunny, rabbit, girl.
Dare you call me a girl.
Oh, my God, you're so cute.
Wait a really second. What's happening?
This is really disarming.
We start making out.
She gets her princess blood all over you, but nothing happens because it's meant to be.
Yeah. No, that doesn't happen.
Well, I do have to say that you are the weirdest bunch of kidnappers I've ever heard about.
Thank you.
Really kidnappers. We're more like heroic rescuers. Hold on. Okay.
Okay. Am I allowed to leave then?
No.
No.
No. No. Oh, kidnapping then. Kidnapping it is.
I was very clear about that.
Did you guys see when I nut tapped that guy?
Yeah, that was
That was good. Sick, Bonks. Good job.
Sick, Bonks.
It was... So sick.
He is going to die unless we get him to a healer.
Oh, man. Well, can't help you there.
Yeah.
If only there was some sort of healer.
Oh, yes, yes. I can handle this. I can get him. We can get you a nice new arm. I've got plenty lying around in the basement.
Because between you, me, and the roots... That was my jerkin hand.
No!
Understood. We'll make sure the new one's Understood. Velvety soft. You're a hero, my boy. Slap, slap, slap. Well, a professional kidnapper, but still, either way.
Velvety soft.
Thank you.
Was it the arm with the weird new fingers? Weird fingers, or does he still
No,
have
the other
that?
One.
Okay. Damn it! So much weird arm stand. Stuff going on with Cramuel.
Sorry, ladies.
Do we have a place that we can stash her until we get back?
I can hear you.
I don't care.
When you did care.
It's then you realize how young she is for a fae. Like, she's actually quite a young child. And, again, spilling extremely dangerous blood on the ground. This is the part where you feel another of those terrible... horrifying, like, in your bones, like, rumbles as nearby a dragon unleashes its fire so hot
again.
That you can feel it even from here.
I knew this bookend was
and there, the like, leaves on the outside of the tree wither in the heat slightly. Even though the flames are far off, all of the Grimwood heats up for the next 3 days. As a dragon unleashes its blaze somewhere, perhaps our other adventurers will see where. Meanwhile, Xanator, Martin, and Gwendolyn are en route to the outskirts of the Sacred Grove, along with Otax, Doderfell, Vorl of Vorl, the mustachioed master thief who, when you were trying to decide like how to proceed, encouraged you to triple dip. So, along with Otax, Doderfell, and Vorl of Vorl, the leaning, there are two more powerful ringers brought in from the retirement roster, or from far afield, who Katie and Kathy will be playing, since their main characters are in a swamp affecting a kidnapping plot. And so, as the camera pans in and swoops around and does a bunch of, like, really sick Snyder Cut-esque Snyder Cuts around adding so much dynamic energy to this just slow march through the woods. We see King Allfeel at the head of the train, the giant, swollen-bellied, you know, like 20-foot-tall, gorgeously oiled and gleaming and braided and bedazzled Satyr King, leading the march, and the trees are literally bending and bowing away from his mass, creating a safe path. There are 100 satyrs, centaurs, veiled nymphs, and war pixies flying around, so you are part of a large entourage. The rule for treating in the Crownlands is 100 men. You can bring 100 men to a parlay. So at any rate, you are among 100 centaur satyrs, war pixies, veiled nymphs, strange animate plants, and one just slug with feet that's just walking alongside, and he keeps smiling at Gwen every once in a while, giving her a little wink and a nod.
Love this guy.
Yeah, love this. He's got such good energy.
Good vibes.
I think he's making a pass at you.
Really, Gwendolyn, good vibes coming off of this slug.
Gwendolyn is on the back of a centaur war chief. Massive, you know, like, proportionately, Gwen is on a normal-sized horse, which, just to show how massive, Centaur War Chief Shadow is his name, and the two of them have probably been getting along swimmingly, because he's a very relaxed guy.
Let me tell you about my minute girl.
Yes!
They're just singing.
And he lopes and Gwen sings, and they've been having probably a pretty good time.
He's very appreciative of all the snacks I always have on my person.
Mm-hmm.
Todd's been putting snacks in his, handing him snacks.
And preening him.
Mm-hmm.
His hair is well braided at this point. He has this, you know, massive salt and pepper beard that has been braided into all manner of knots by Gwen and Todd.
Hell yeah.
And Xenitor, as a master of the arcane, they insisted that they carry you on a plinth. So There are four satyrs holding onto the handles of this plinth, and you are sitting up on top of it in, like, this weird little cradle throne that, like, kind of squeezes you in and, like, you know, makes you, like, kind of your own.
They swaddled him.
Yeah, they swaddled him. They piled, like, furs and stuff.
They don't
up
want him scratching his face in the night.
They swaddled him.
Yeah, you're not 100%, like, comfortable, but you are
100%
cozy.
Like, crushing it.
Yeah, cozy and, yeah. So yeah, you're being carried by, you know, four big satyr individuals, and Martin. No one will talk to you. No one will look at you. They're giving you this, like, wide berth as they're all extremely suspicious of.
Well, I guess I'll walk.
Yeah, like a fucking animal.
No satyr for you. How you doing back there, buddy?
Fine. Kick a rock.
The rock hits the slug.
Oh.
Sorry.
Careful.
Oh no, I will have two hit points. Slow down.
All right. So, they're all giving you a little bit of a, like, a wide berth, Martin, and because you know why.
you know what you did.
You know why. Our three nearlies in their different modes of transportation along the Revelwood contingent column have brought along a few ringers from out of retirement or from far afield, heroes that escaped the great heroic purge through whatever method or means, possibly mysterious, or possibly developed. I don't know if you guys decided. Good. Okay, great. So, would you, as the camera whips around Snyder Cut style from Martin looking sad and kicking rocks, it alights on one William Guys with a...
Hey, guys.
With a wide, dark hat and cloak and an incredibly elaborate, finely wrought rapier. Tight leather gloves and boots and so buckles and swashes. Buckles to swash every which way. Knives and daggers sticking out of every possible nook and cranny.
you may examine it at your leisure.
At your leisure. So if you would describe anything that I perhaps left out.
William Guys, ferocious rider, generous lover, and all-around good guy.
That's Kathy, in case anyone couldn't tell. This is Kathy's alt character, William Guys. Actually, there's an interesting name or reason behind the name. You wanna
yes.
Okay.
He is a Zorro-esque character. And the actor who played Zorro in like the 1967 Disney Zorro was Guy Williams.
Nice.
So I took the William, I took the Guys, I turned it into Disguise, and, you know.
William Guys. Also, she's playing a male character, so one of the guys.
Yeah.
That's Amanda's joke that I stole from earlier.
I love it.
Yeah, thanks.
It's yours now.
Thank you. All right, and the camera does a way too many 180-degree spins because we're trying to do, like, the movie Sucker Punch. I'm gonna barf! Everyone gets nauseous, and then the camera suddenly alights upon a cerulean blue sorceress with a pointy, classical witch hat, incredibly finely wrought and detailed armaments and gear, a blue cloak, high cerulean leather boots, sapphires alighted all over, amulets and rings and whatnot, as the blue flower of Belle Clairon. No, sorry. As the blue flower war witch comes into view.
Dionne Warwitch?
Dionne Warwitch. oh my god, think about how powerful Dionne Warwitch would be.
I love her.
And so Amelia Alagosa Altadun comes into view. Would you like to give us any details on Amelia Alagosa that I had not covered just yet in my ridiculous description?
Yeah, she's definitely wearing the quintessential witch outfit for everyone else's sake, not hers. She's like, I'll give you what you want.
Yeah, you have to give the people what they want.
Here, grudgingly doesn't do it justice. She does not want to be here. Mm. She wants to be in retirement, left alone. She did her time. Fuck the guildmaster, always. Whoa. That's the basis of all my characters. No, but she's
I thought she actually fucked the guildmaster.
Damn.
He wishes.
He wishes.
Yeah, I don't know. She was a hero many years ago, was very idealistic, saw some horrible things, and that ruined it. And she was like, I'm out of here, I'm retiring, and I'm going to be left alone.
Yeah. She's like an old, like, 60s activist. Like, I put in my time.
I did my bit.
Yeah, we figured it
out. I don't recycle anymore.
Enough.
It doesn't do anything, so we're done.
Yeah, so Amelia Alagosa was a storied hero. In fact, you know, Xenator for sure has heard of her. And she has existed in the Revelwood because there are these patches, these, like, horizon glades that have, like, where time sort of slows down and everything is sort of paradisical, and so she probably has just been enjoying her retirement, and she looks much younger than you would expect for the fact that she's, like, was adventuring in her prime 60 years ago, because she's been living in a place where time moves extra slowly, so she's been wrenched out of retirement, and it is all over her face that she is extremely unhappy to be here. William Guys is quite the opposite. He always looks happy to be everywhere. he just sort of glides through existence at like a slippery little eel. Whereas Amelia just sort of trench bowls her way around, like, kind of angrily. All right, so this is our party.
We'll cry if we want to.
Yeah.
Carrick had chosen the name Viderum for his life as a servant to the Herald of the Glorious carefully. Viderum Davil Eron was an ancient hero of the Goddust Desert, famous for doing three horrible things over three terrible years that saved all the lives in that desolate land. A great and beautiful beast of the sky, a Simurgh, had long flown free and wild over that land. Viderum hunted it down. Its blood had stopped a plague. Its flesh, even a mouthful, kept a belly full through years of famine. Its eggs he took and raised to be loyal to the Paradesh, and the slavers and tyrants threatening the young prince fell to armies led by these mighty beasts, though they were just yearlings. So many goods wrought out of that unforgivable act of blasphemy. He had sacked the silent temple of the burned god, whose name had been cast into the stars. There were no mythical guardians or curses, as had long been said. No, only tradition and respect for the lost deity kept the treasure hunters at bay. The gold and jewels taken from that sacred place had brought ease and luxury to his people. The sacred artifacts pulled down from those walls had driven back the hungering shadows that stole life and breath in the night. Viderum armed himself with the lost god's own sword, and the goddust blade ended the life of many would-be usurpers, tyrants, and demons. And when a strange infection of madness and grotesque transformation swept the city of Balantha in jewels, rather than risk its escape, Viderum barred the walls and bathed the city in flames. Infected, survivors, even his beloved Paradeshi prince. Viderum gave all for his people. And then, knowing what ire the loss of Balantha in jewels would bring to his army and loyal companions, Viderum turned himself over to the people in the capital. What was done to him is best not repeated here, nor thought of. After less than a year in the service of the Herald, Carrick would have given anything to have kept his own number of travesties to three, and would have been willing to die himself to transform any of the horrors he had committed into any positive result. He had kidnapped 6 princesses, slaughtered dozens of their guardians. The little piglet Chimer Princess Pyrrhicene of the Goodly Kingdom had been the hardest, both due to the ferocity of the bears, lions, and warthog knights defending her, but also because of the piteous way she squealed when he pried her out from under the cushioned seat in the carriage. But the door to the bones must be opened. The way to change must be made clear. How else could the Herald make true his promise to return Seraphine to him? To give back his brother's soul, stripped away and devoured by the void? If the bones could be bent, all could be made right. All could be made right. Carrick gazed through the breach in heaven. He thought he saw her there, in the beyond. But something was twisted and broken about her. Her soul was deformed. Surely she would find no rest in such an awful state. "You see," the Herald whispered in his ear. "Look at the state of her. Bent and broken, she lives in agony, even in the beyond. Heaven can grant her no relief, but all can be made whole again. The Glorious will return, but we will only trade one master for another. Our destinies will be controlled by the first of humanity's creations, rather than humans themselves. We will not even notice the difference." After all he'd seen, all he'd done, what was a little farther? He would serve, even if he had to give true death to all his brother's beloved nearlies, even if he had to kill Xenator all over again. Whatever horrors were needed, he would do. It would all be undone when he was given his reward. All would be made whole again. "If this far, why not further?" the Herald whispered in his ear. "Indeed, why not all the way to the end?"
Thanks for listening to Could Have Been Heroes, production and editing by Aaron Schoenrock, theme song by Bo Hoover, and cover art by me, Robert Knutson.
Could Have Been Heroes is an entirely independent podcast, so if you like the show, please subscribe and review. For exclusive content and hands-on Farital access, head to patreon.com/CBHpod.
Tune in next week for more adventures, and don't forget to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at CBHpod, and check out our website, couldhavebeenheroes.com.